Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast with Benji Nice and the UAE Tour 2021 Stage 6 recap. We've got On Loop tomorrow. Tomorrow we will have the double header, two World Tour races. No, three even, Benji. Got the men and women's On Loop as well as the UAE Tour Stage 7, the final stage recap. That's going to be an absolute banger of a podcast. Hopefully there's a crazy On Loop in both men and women's tomorrow. So save yourself. Maybe plan a long ride. Plan a long ride on Sunday. We know that, you know, no one listening to this probably has any friends, so they'll need to fill in the hours. need to fill in the hours on Sunday on the solo ride. But getting into this UAE Tour Stage 6, Benji, was pretty flat once again. It was the Dubai stage from Dubai to Palm Jumeirah, 165 Ks, two intermediate sprints, and just not that, nothing really of note in the profile. It's clearly going to be a sprint. There was some crosswind action, which you'll tell us about in a second, but the wind wasn't insane either. I just want to quickly mention, if you want to go and check out our show partner on Instagram, LaCole, you can check their Instagram out. The link is below. They just dropped the announcement of the Drops cycling kit that they've obviously collaborated with Drops with. So the Drops is a women's cycling team based in Britain. They're Conti level, but I think they've got big plans to move up to World Tour level in the future. They were only founded in 2015. So Drops LaCole, supported by Tempur, they just dropped a pretty colorful kit. So go and check it out. Well, I'm actually going to I'll show it in the YouTube video overlay to see and give your opinions in the comments down below whether you like it or not. I personally like the more color, the better, in my view. Benji, this stage, it was going to be a sprint stage for Bennett, Ewan, Ackerman and co, unless it was a hell of a lot of crosswind. What happened with the breakaways and was there any echelon action?
So we saw a breakaway pretty early on without any echelon action at the start of the stage. Tony Galopin for Gisela Mondial, Lutsenko. We also had Luis Leon Sanchez, Latanyu, Attila Valter, and Ilos Gui from Movistar. So Valter went into a breakaway on a flat stage, unfortunately. Every single time during the Giro last year, we were rooting that he would go in the break in a mountain stage, but he did it on a flat stage today. That's interesting. When it comes to the breakaway, they had a bit of a gap, but it wasn't like the break was going to make it today. At a certain point, there was a bit of a space where they left the wide, big roads and they went into a small private area of private houses and so forth. And the road went from like four lanes to two lanes with like road furniture in the middle. And unfortunately, that caused a crash. Danish riders were down. Florian Stork, who we spoke about quite a lot in the last three episodes on the two climbs, he did pretty well. He unfortunately had to abandon the race. I have no clue about his injury, so we'll have to take a look at DSM's social media channels to see if it's hopefully not bad. The thing about it is, why do they need to go through a private area for like half a kilometer to then go on the wide roads again, likely for financial interests and so forth, but that's unfortunately the world of commercialized cycling. But it caused a crash this time around. A bit later, they had the echelons with around 67 kilometers to go. We saw that we were heading out of the village and, well, city. It's not a village. And the wind started getting into a proper area for crosswinds. We kind of left from the ocean and it allowed for proper tail crosswinds as well. And we had an echelon. And the thing about it is, when I think about echelons, I think about the big guns, the big time trial types that are also up there and so forth. But one of the riders that missed out on a split of the two groups was Filippo Ganna. And I don't think it's the first time. I think as well in the last echelon, he was also missing. So I'm not sure if that's weakness of him, the positioning pre-echelons, or if his insight on reacting to that is not up to standards. Maybe I'm just looking to look at this point, but just noticed that he was once again missing out on it. Yates was in the first one though, and we saw one of the riders from Ineos in between the two echelons. I think it was Sosa or Martinez, either one of the two, trying to survive or hang on to the first echelon, then drop back and try and come back to it, but it seriously was not working. Wouldn't surprise me if it was Sosa on paper. Echelons eventually led to nothing because Quickstep tried to push it forward 30-40 seconds, and Bora was basically sitting in third, fourth, fifth wheel in that little echelon train. But the moment that Quickstep said, we're going to hammer it even more and had three riders at the front, it looked like Archbold was moving up as third rider there and the Bora riders didn't follow him. So you can't really make a proper echelon happen or make a difference in an echelon if the riders behind you are not working with you and if you're basically riding alone. And another thing I noticed is when Quickstep decided to then fall back because it was clearly not working because Bora wasn't helping them out at that point, a minute later, Bora went to the front and tried to make echelon. So perhaps at that point, they were like, oh, there's a sprinter behind. Let's kick in and help out. But just surprise me. The thing about echelons is you kind of need to use the full width of the road to make it extremely effective because then you force other riders to be in an area where they have to battle against the wind more. And Bora didn't really seem to do that because they only did echelons for like half the road. And that isn't going to be super effective because it kind of bulges up the entire peloton behind them. And yeah, I think that's one of the reasons that it also didn't really work out.
You mean they should go narrower on a narrower side of the road and so that there's less. Yeah. I saw what you meant with Bora Hansgrohe. Yeah, they were creating like 6-7 rider like depth because these roads are so wide to sit behind them, and that's not going to split it unless people are really tired already, the wind's really strong, or you're really strong, and none of those things were in play. Ideally, you want to do what Ineos or Kwiatkowski do. You ride three riders width away from the gutter and then have your riders in a little pocket behind you, close in, and then ride max, rotate within yourselves, and then eventually the other riders will be facing the wind behind you, probably not that far behind you, and they'll drop off eventually. Someone will break the link in the chain and then it's all over. But yeah, Bora, not been a great UAE tour for them so far. Pretty much all came back together. I mean, let's skip forward to it's all together. They've come into Dubai. Grugier for Astana attacks, I think, just to get some camera time for Astana. Lutsenko had gotten the break again. So Astana obviously keen to make something of this UAE tour. They haven't had a big result yet. Lutsenko unlucky yesterday. And then you can see everyone getting in formation, Benji. Quickstep, Shane Archbold talking to Bennett, Ackermann. But then this finish, they do like we're now into the last 10 kilometers, obviously going to be a sprint at this point. They go into Dubai. There's this underpass. And to get onto the underpass to go, I don't know the geography of Dubai too well, but it's to cross some sort of water area, and you need a tunnel to go under it or some highways. And to get onto the tunnel, there's like a left to right bend, and then it like narrowed a little bit. And we saw that Sabatini crash, Benji, with who else was it? With Sobrero for Movistar. But Sabatini is the last man, I think, for Cofidis, for Viviani. And I don't know who the rider in blue crashed, but I was just focused on Sabatini, the Cofidis rider. And we thought, oh no, Viviani, like that's exactly what he doesn't need, more bad luck. But yeah, going into the finish, Benji, could you describe the final kilometer or 1500 meters and where you wanted to be set up for this sprint? Given the wind direction and the narrowing of the road.
So basically they're on a bit of a section where there's the ocean on the left side and they have a wide road just lining next to the ocean. And that road gets a bit narrower as we go into the final kilometer. And that's where a lot of sprinters missed their chance or made their chance today. We had a situation where, again, Mirku being the splendid lead out he is, just riding obviously ahead of Bennett, with Bennett in the wheel, Bennett sticking to his wheel once again. And Mirku is genuinely the kind of rider that somehow makes his way through every situation that he gets in. The problem is, nobody else really has a Mirku in their team. And we notice that the moment that, I think with 800 meters to go, you've got the Ackermann-Bora train that's lined up somewhat in the middle with three riders at that point, Ackermann being in third wheel of that, Bauhaus being just in the wheel of Ackermann for Bahrain. And then on the left side of the road, you have the two riders of the Koenig Quickstep who are riding next to that Bora train. And that includes, well, Mirko and Bennett. Archbold was already gone at that point. And behind Bennett, there was this fierce battle for his wheel. And I think that's where some sprinters lost their day today. And we can look at it from a point where the bias brings Ewan into the wheel of Bennett now. So it's not an ideal situation either. It's like, from a certain point, Ewan always has to do it alone in these sprints. And that's the difference, again, between Bennett and Ewan, that Ewan does not have that Mirko in his team. And Ewan has to be forced to get on the wheel of Bennett himself. And then he has the problem that just left behind him, Dekker is, and right of him, not really behind him, but just next to him, Viviani is hanging out with Bauhaus next to that. And in that situation, Ewan obviously tries to follow the Bennett wheel, and he's relatively in the wheel, and that is where the road narrows. So you've got Bennett in front, Ewan in the wheel of Bennett, and Dekker on the left and Viviani on the right, and the road narrows. So we see that
except
the riders who are on the far side of the right road, yeah, sorry?
Except Mirko and Bennett are starting to move left a bit. They have to go around the Bahrain lead out man, so Bennett is about to fall into the front wheel. Bennett's back wheel is about to slot nicely into the in front of Dekker's front wheel, but Ewan wants to follow him. So it's not like Ewan's in a straight line, Bennett's in a straight line. I think the Quickstep guys are moving left around Dekker coming up this left-hand side, saw that opportunity, and then Ewan's trying to follow through. And then Viviani, I mean, I don't feel like he had any right to be going for Bennett's wheel in that situation. But there was wind as well, I think, coming from the left to the right in this sprint earlier on. I think Lotto Soudal got in a bad spot once again at the 1 kilometer to go banner. They had numbers today in the last K, but it for me, one Mirko is better than four Lotto lead out men. They sort of
that's true.
seriously. I mean, they had four guys around him at 1K, but it was Ewan sprinting into this cross headwind, trying to find wheels again. And then he's a small guy. I know maybe it's his fault, Benji. Like, do you think Ewan has told them he likes finding his own wheels and doing his own thing? Do you think he's just learned he has to do that? Or do you think their plan is to have like a proper full lead out for him and drop him off at 150 and they just not can't do it? Like, what do you think it is?
I think if there is a situation where Ewan says that he wants to do it alone, it's because he doesn't have that rider that he trusts to bring him to the position that he needs to be in. Again, he doesn't have that Mirko. And if he had the likes of a Mirko in his team, he would likely trust his lead out more than fully himself trying to find wheels, because it's always more ideal if someone else spends the efforts and you can just freewheel in the wheel and get to the position you need to be in, because that's generally what Bennett is doing and Ewan cannot. If it is his own decision, it's likely based on what he has seen in previous sprints that it is likely to give him more than having the Beist in there as well. So yeah, I think that,
and it just leaves him,
it's a combination,
it just leaves
of,
him fighting Bennett. Yeah? It just leaves him fighting with Dekker, 80 kilos, Bauhaus, 80-plus kilos, Ackermann, 80 kilos, Bennett, big guy, Viviani, low-key, strong, big guy too. And he's having to fight and protect his front wheel from all of them. So sorry, Benji, that was a long way of – you are now at the point where there's 800 meters to go and there's this scrap for Bennett's wheel. What ended up – how did that resolve itself, the three-way scrap for Bennett's wheel on the left-hand side with 800 left between Dekker, Ewan and Viviani?
Well, because of that road narrowing and the Koenig moving up a bit to the left, it meant that Viviani, who was trying to lean into that same position that Ewan has, then also moves to the left. And we know that Dekker is on the left side of Ewan and is also trying to get that position. So we got a bit of a three-way just division straight into the wheel of Bennett. And obviously, that's a plain Ewan sandwich at that point. Ewan is the lightest of them all. He's likely not to get the advantage here with a tank like Dekker who's moving up on the left. Ewan tries to use his head to try and nudge Dekker a tiny bit to the left. I don't see it as a bash like we saw already in the past. Like, I think Sagan was a proper bash in the Tour de France last year. I don't think this is that.
And we learned it's and what Ewan did to Phillipson in Tour Down Under, it's not as bad as that. I think this was more self-preservation as he was getting squeezed, his front wheel squeezed by these two guys. And I think Decker, it didn't even bother Decker. But what about the big issue was when Viviani pushed into him, Benji. I think Viviani pushed him into Decker and then he ping-ponged off Decker. Do you have Viviani more at fault there for squeezing Ewan, or Ewan for just putting himself in that spot and not just breaking out of it?
It's really hard to notice because, like, on the right of Viviani, you've got Bauhaus basically doing the same thing to Viviani. It's not as serious, but Viviani's reaction was probably as a consequence of Bauhaus moving in as well. Perhaps he moved in a bit too much to Ewan there. I don't really see anyone at fault for taking a wheel and smashing someone to the side or anything here, but it's just very unfortunate for Ewan that he's basically sandwiched in between there and has to offer up his position or potentially crash. And yeah, I don't know if I totally blame either of these riders personally. What's your take on this?
I just think, yeah, it was just everyone fighting for Bennett's wheel. These things are going to happen when one man's a marked man. Decker's super aggressive. He puts himself in these spots. I don't think it's dirty, but it's definitely he aggressively claims wheels. He's not shoulder barging or headbutting or elbowing anybody. But I might run through the final sprint now. Giacomini and Soldo's on the right-hand side. Second wheel's easily that man way too early. He's going to get dropped off early. DSM are on his wheel on the right-hand side with Bol fourth wheel deep. Probably, again, too early for them. Bora Hansgrohe in the middle, as Benji said. Ackermann, third wheel. And Mirko brings Bennett up the left-hand side really strongly. Like, you don't see anyone else do this. Mirko's in the wind this early, bringing his sprinter up. Not only does he do that, he then slots onto Bora Hansgrohe's last lead out man. Pascal Ackermann, big improvement today. He deliberately loses the wheel of his lead out man and he goes and slots onto Sam Bennett's wheel. They're now in the middles to the right-hand side of the road, sort of right last third of the road. Everyone now in the last 400, 500 meters. Last Bora lead out man goes. But then David Decker comes over. He's been following Bennett up the left-hand side, just like he tried to follow MVDP, just like he followed Bennett on stage four, follows them up, and he just slots onto Bennett's wheel, and Ackermann yields Bennett's wheel to him. And it wasn't even an aggressive, this is my wheel, rubbing shoulders, etc. Ackermann laid off the wheel a little bit and just pretty much gave it up. I think that was the big, big mistake for Ackermann in this sprint, giving up Bennett's wheel. Bora's last lead out man pulls off. Mirko then, after bringing up Bennett, also does a lead out to the last 175 on the right hand side of the road. And then Bennett sprints to his right. There's one rider's width to the right of Mirko, which Bennett fills. Mirko didn't even do anything shady today. Like, he didn't even swing out then afterwards. They didn't even need to. And because it was so late, if you follow Bennett on the right-hand side with how hard he's kicking, you're not going to have time to then come around him because he'll, you know, and then he's already a bike length ahead of you. You're not going to make up that given the quality of Bennett. So Bennett's on the right-hand side. Decker started sprinting at the same time as Bennett to the left-hand side of Mirko. Viviani, similarly, Viviani to the left of Decker, following him as well as Ackermann. Ackermann did what he, a minor version of what he did at Schelde-Preis. Ackermann loves to be really deep in the sprint and then just swing as far left as possible to find the gap. Doesn't matter whose wheel is, he might chop, nearly chop Bauhaus again today. I'm not a massive fan of it. But Bennett was just way too good. You see when he kicked, if you want to see the overhead shot, it's a great vision of the difference in speed. And I know Decker had to do a lot of work early, but Bennett and Decker kick at the same time, and it's night and day just about. It was never in doubt with that sort of lead out. And I think if Decker followed Bennett on the right-hand side, he would have got second. Viviani actually did do that. He followed Bennett on the right-hand side, got that slipstream, and got second with who came third, Benji? Was it Ackermann? I'm trying to think. Yeah, it was Ackermann. Ackermann third, Decker fourth, Gaviria fifth, Soldo sixth. So what did you disagree with any of my assessments of that sprint, Benji? Are there any details I missed out? Am I overstating Ackermann's move? And should we just crown Mirko? We need to give him some sort of prize.
Yeah, I think we need to crown Mirko. Like, looking at it in a full picture about Mirko, the thing about Mirko is that he's so good at adapting mid-sprint, it's crazy. Like, in a situation of the last sprint that Bennett won this week, I think it was stage four, we saw that Mirko was not needed to make the lead out at the front of the peloton. He didn't need to do the last lead out for a sprinter. And what he did there was he used himself to put Bennett in the perfect position to be able to launch from behind the other sprinters to the left in that stage. And he decided, well, I'm not done yet. What I could do is I could also try and sprint a bit on the right so that everybody who's behind me has to go the entire long way around around me. Exactly. And if he's sprinting there on purpose, then he's not doing anything shady. He's just taking that place, which is genius. And in this situation, in this situation, he completely adapted the other way around where he didn't need to do any of that. He just needed to try and take the place of the Bora lead out that was going off the front at that point. And Mirko was like, okay, I'm going to take that place. I'm going to do that because then Bennett can start a sprint in second position, the perfect position to start a sprint in. And it just was a beautiful lead out once again. Like, truly impressive.
They're too good.
What Mirko does.
Those two right now, the chemistry, and Bennett's been talking about it. Every extra sprint, he said in the interview straight after, every extra sprint we do, we just know each other better and better, and the chemistry is getting better and better. And geez, like, it's crazy. Bennett has full faith in Mirko, and Mirko puts him in the right spots. And I think that's why sometimes we see Bennett doing things that me and you might not like, particularly Benji, where he is paranoid about keeping Mirko's wheel. And he knows if I follow Mirko's wheel, I'm probably going to be in the best spot for a W. And then you got to acknowledge as well, no one's quicker than Bennett in that sprint, except we keep saying, and I'm guilty of it too, oh, well, Ewan's actually the quickest. Ewan's actually the quickest in the last 100 meters. It's like, yeah, okay, but is he there in the last 100 meters with the option to sprint?
Yeah.
And you're seeing that Bennett just has that, you know, top finishing power, and I think he's going to win tomorrow as well, Benji. Like, I think he's like, because he's winning by a lot, and things can change. You know, one mistake and one bike length, you can go from first to tenth. But him and Mirko is just too good, and Lotto will need to pick it up a lot tomorrow, and Ackermann as well. I actually think Ackermann's more likely to beat Bennett than Ewan, to be honest. Ackermann's improved from stage four to six. He showed foresight today that he knew he couldn't go too early again off Martin Last's lead out. He did get himself in good position. I think he just cost himself by letting Bennett's wheel go. But tomorrow's stage, I already mentioned, stage seven from Yas Marina to Abu Dhabi Breakwater, 142 Ks, two intermediate sprints, pancake flat, and should be a sprint again. Don't think there's too much wind predicted. But sorry, any last comments and thoughts on the sprint today, Benji? Any learnings or things you'll be following, sort of marking it down for later in the season to follow?
Yeah, I think we've been pretty obvious already. I think the mark of Bennett, though, is shining at the moment. And I think that's only going to get better as much as they ride together. And I think the other sprinters will need to find some kind of solution of handling with that. But about tomorrow's stage, is that the one that finished in the F1 course, or did they ditch that out there? Because I swear they had that in the past.
But I can't see it. It finishes on the coast in this Abu Dhabi breakwater. Okay.
That's sad.
So, maybe they'll take up our idea of a night criterion on an F1 course next year. What about Viviani, Benji? Just someone said to me this is his first World Tour podium at Cofidis. That, if that's true, big result for him. I think he had surgery.
That's genius. Before, and
he is looking much better.
Yeah, he is. Like, he genuinely is. So
seriously, he looks good.
Yeah. I really question whether it was that heart issue that caused all the issues last year as well. I don't know what the time frame of that issue is. It was that only the last month or so before the surgery, or was that something that was across a longer time? So if anybody knows that, explain to me, because I'm very interested to know, because there's such a significant difference in the way he sprints.
Yeah.
And he just looks better.
Three World Tour top fives, including a second, out of six stages, and we'll see how he goes tomorrow, making that split on stage one, coming second today without Sabatini, maybe it helped him, to be honest, just following Bennett. But yeah, he looks a different rider. I know it is, you did say these races suit him a lot more. I think the Grand Tour sprints are a little bit different sometimes to these pure Kittel sprints in the Middle East, but still he looks good. David Dekker as well. It's not a fluke. We have to accept he's a top sprinter now. Benji, or is it too early? I'm saying right now he's a top level World Tour sprinter, capable of winning Grand Tour pure sprint stages.
Yep, I think so as well. I think he's going to win a stage in the Giro. We've said it three times now already. Yep. He's going to keep on saying that, just indoctrinating everyone. Dekker's going to win a sprint in the Giro. But outside of that, I do think that he's one of the better sprinters Netherlands has right now, obviously. We'll see if Jakobsen can come out and be competitive again. We all hope that pretty much when it comes to Groenewegen as well. If he hits the road, whether he's going to get that level again. But right now, Dekker is he's not dominating anything or anything, but he's currently riding similar sprints like Akkerman is, and he's not launching too early necessarily. But it looks like he's spending a lot of energy pre-sprint though, and it's zero something that is recurring. Yeah, he has no help here, so that's probably the reason. But he's also a much larger rider than anybody else, right? He looks like a tank when he's going for a sprint there.
Yeah, and obviously I did a hype video on him last year. Feel pretty proud about doing that. Don't do too many hype videos on the younger riders, but the one, you know, that one seems to have been the right rider to pick. I said, oh, you know, maybe he could go okay in some of the classics next year, you know, maybe a top 10 in you know, Dwars Duhr at Hageland. I'm not sure I hyped him up this much. But he's doing really, really well, David Dekker. Gaviria fifth is okay. Nitzola, I've been a little bit disappointed. I actually thought they'd do better. Caden Grove seventh is nice. As well as Greipel top 10, I do, that warms my heart a little bit. But that's enough for this stage, stage six of the UAE Tour 2021. We'll see you tomorrow for the last stage of UAE Tour, as well as Omloop Men and Women's. It'll be a big day for me. I'm going to be absolutely buckled. So make sure you drop a like on the YouTube video if that's where you listen, or give us a review on the Apple Podcasts platform. But we'll see you then. Ciao.